The 42nd Psalm is another of those psalms where we see through the psalmist's experience in type and figure the sufferings and the death of Christ our Saviour. We see the great torments which Christ felt as he was offered up upon the cross in the place of sinners. And we see the great opposition of man unto Christ and all those who are in Christ. With very descriptive language, the psalmist writes in verse 10, "As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Where is thy God?" As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Oh, to feel a sword in your bones. What a vivid description of the pain, of the sharpness, the hatred caused by the reproach of Christ's enemies. Oh, the depth of their hatred and the pain it causes. It comes at Christ and it comes at his people like a sword in their bones. Man hates God and his Son, the Saviour. Fallen man, sinful man, the enemies of God, so hate God, his Son, and his people, that their hatred is manifested with such degree that it comes as a sword in the bones. O child of God, do you know the reproach of your enemies? Do you know what it's like to have them say daily unto you, where is thy God? To mock you, to cause you to doubt that you have a God and a Saviour, to make you feel like you're alone and abandoned, to make you feel like you've got it all wrong. You live by faith. You look up in hope unto God to deliver you. Yet they come along mocking with the intent of causing you to doubt all that God has shown you and all that you have hoped in. Where is thy God? Where is he? You're on your own. There's no God. You've no hope. You're a fool to go in the path you're going in. Give it up. Join us. Eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow you die. It's all a lie. It's all fairy tales. It's all myths. Everything you hope in, it's for fools from a former generation. You can't be so foolish today to really trust in God, can you? You can't be so foolish to really believe in Jesus Christ. You can't be so foolish to really think that after death you're going to dwell with God, to really think it matters. You don't really think that man's a sinner, do you? You don't really think that there's a place called hell, and that God, if he exists, would be so angry with sinners that he'd actually cast them into hell for their sins. You don't really think these things, do you? And if you do think these things, if you do believe in your God and you do believe in your Jesus, where is he? Where is he now? Where is he when you need him? Why then are you on your own? Why then are there so few like you? Why has your God left you here in this situation? Where is thy God? So they come with their scorn and their mockery and their hatred and their despising and their ridicule, and they come at you, as it were, with a sword in your bones. Have you been there? Do you know that? Well, the psalmist did. And Christ did. When Christ came into this world, when he came unto his own received him not, all men rejected him. And at the end, they all cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him. Away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us." And they beat him and they scourged him. And they nailed him to a cross. And they spat on him. And he died. And they said as he died, "Well, where is thy God?" He said he was the Son of God. Then where's his God to save him when he's dying upon the cross? He said he was sent of God. He said he was one with God. Then where's his God when he needs him most? Where is thy God? And they mocked and they scoffed. And they will mock and they will scoff you, child of God. And yet when he died, his God looked on. And the purpose and the will of his God from eternity was wrought and completed and brought to pass in fulfillment of all the prophecies leading up to Christ's coming. And when men thought that Christ was gone and dead and buried and at his weakest, Christ in fact wrought his greatest victory and brought about the destruction of all his enemies. The psalmist opens with these words: "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? How desperate this is. A real thirst. A desperate thirst. The intent need for life-giving water and a thirst for the living God who gives such life and gives the water of life. "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Here was a man who needed God. He was dead. He was hungry and thirsty. He needed life. He needed to drink, as it were. But not the water we have on earth. Not just natural life. Not just that which brings natural life. But he needed the water of life from his God. He needed God. And his words at the beginning of this psalm show his great need of God. "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." He didn't just want a knowledge of God. He didn't just want to hear about God. He didn't just want to know the facts of God. He needed to know God. He needed that experience. He needed to drink. He needed to live. And by nature, he knew that he was dead. And that there was life only to be found in God through his grace. Now that's what set this man apart from his enemies. They knew nothing of his God. They knew nothing of the life that comes from his God. And they knew nothing of their own state. They weren't thirsty. They weren't hungry. They weren't desperate to know God. So when this man came amongst them, they couldn't understand him. What's the matter with you? Where's your God? And if you're thirsty and you're hungry for God, then where is he? You're so desperate for God, well, where is he? He's not hearing you. He's abandoned you. He's left you. But whatever man said, he knew he needed God. Do you know anything of a hunger and a thirst for the living God? Or are you content with what you have here in this world? Are you content with what fills the natural senses? Are you so foolish as to think that the 70 or so years that you may live in this world, if you're spared and if you're granted good health, is all that there is? Soon you will discover that those years are fleeting and will soon pass you by. And then what? Then you stare death in the face. Then the grave beckons you. Then your life, which was but a vapour, is gone and you have nothing left. And if you've no desire for the living God, what have you? Nothing. You're dead. So you may taunt the child of God and you may mock and you may scoff in your heart and you may say in your heart there is no God. But what have you got? Oh, you have a few memories. Perhaps when you're young you have a few experiences, but soon you'll be old and all you will have are the memories, are the reminiscences, looking back. But it's all gone, it's all slipped through your fingers. And you didn't care for God and you didn't seek after life and you weren't thirsty and it's all gone. Well, what have you got? Where is your God? You bowed down and worshipped many things. You worshipped pleasure. You worshipped riches. You worshipped your own self and your own desire and your own will and your own thoughts. You bowed down and worshipped yourself. Well, where is your God? You set yourself up as a God and here you are. Age creeping up upon you. Death awaiting you. And there's nothing. And yet man, in his darkness, will continually turn unto the children of God, will continually turn unto Christ and his people and mock and scoff in their folly. But outside of Christ, they have nothing. Has God taught you that there is nothing outside of Christ? Has he made you hungry and made you thirsty? Has he shown you the emptiness of sin? The emptiness of this world? The barrenness of the desert through which you pass? Has he made you hungry? Has he caused the sun to shine and the ground to dry up around you? And what seemed like a green and peaceful land dries up under the heat of the sun and becomes desert? And what seemed like it was waters have all gone, and all you have is desert and sand and nothing, and suddenly you begin to thirst. Has he shown you your state by nature and your sin? Has he made you desperate and thirsty for life and for the living God? The psalmist goes on, secondly, my tears have been my meat day and night. My tears. That's all he had to drink, all he had to eat, his own tears, his own sorrow. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. The psalmist looks back. He has known the presence of God. The reason he's hungry for God is because he's known him, he's met him. He knows who God is, he knows what God is like. He's tasted of this life that comes from his God. And he's gone in the past with others, with the multitude, with the people of God. He's gone into the presence of God, into the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. He's gone there. He can look back. He can look back in his life and remember there was a day when I went with them, and where we met, and where we met with God, and where we heard God. And we brought the voice of joy and praise before him. And there was God, but now I'm alone. Now that's just a memory. Now my God seems afar off. He looks back, but now there's nothing. And he's thirsty. And all he can consume are his own tears. All he has to drink comes out of self and his own sorrow. And in his desperation, he's eaten himself up, as it were. Because he's looking inwardly. And the more you drink your own tears, when God seems to remove himself, and when your enemies gather around and mock and scoff and say, well, where's your God? Where's he gone? Where's he gone now? He's not blessing you now, is he? Oh, you might say one day this and that happened, but where is he now? You're alone now. The more they scoff, and the more desperate you become, the more inclined you will be to look inwardly and to drink your own tears and to be cast down. So the psalmist says, when he finds himself in such a state, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He finds himself by these circumstances cast down. And he realizes, I've been cast down, and yet I know my hope's in God. I know I won't find it in self. I know that I can be alone. I know that the taunts of my enemies mean nothing. Why am I listening to them? Why does it matter that I'm alone? Why does it matter that God seems afar off? I know that there is a God. And I know what he's done for me in the past. And I know that he will hear me one day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? I shall yet praise him. And his faith rises up in the midst of trouble, when everything seems like it's come to disaster. When everything seems to be as bad as it can be, everyone's abandoned him. There used to be others who he walked with as brother and sister. There used to be others who he spake with about Christ and his salvation. There used to be others who would meet with him and hear him. But now even they have abandoned him. And his enemies rise up and say, where's your God? Where are you now? And he's caused to be cast down. But his faith, if there's faith, from the depths rises up. It will not leave him there. Natural faith would. If all he ever had was a natural consent to the truth, if all he'd ever heard were the facts, then as soon as he's put through the fires, as soon as he's brought in the desert, as soon as God withdraws, as soon as people go away, as soon as the multitude, the congregation has deserted him, as soon as he finds himself in the midst of trouble on his own, if all he ever had was a knowledge and a natural understanding, if all he'd ever heard was the gospel in the letter, in word only, then he would be crushed. But true faith, God-given faith, that faith that the Spirit puts in the heart within, that work of God that brings forth life out of death, that causes dead sinners like you and I to hear the gospel and live, that faith which brings us thirsty before the living God, that faith which makes us live, will never die. And in the depths, in the very depths, when naturally we'd be cast down, when naturally we would give up, faith rises up and says unto self, and says unto our cast down soul, in the midst of trouble, it says unto self, why are you cast down? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to self? Are you listening to the enemies of God? Or are you listening for Christ? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I shall yet praise him. Fourthly, the psalmist goes on, O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. My soul is cast down, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. What's the answer to being cast down? To look up by faith and remember God. He'd been brought there. The continual cries of his enemy and the continual panting after the water brooks, the continual solitude, the continual trial will bring you there. But the child of God, through faith, remembers. He remembers. He sees his soul cast down. He sees the desperate situation that he's in. And he says, therefore, as a consequence, I will remember my God. Out of the land of Jordan, in whatever circumstance I'm in, out of the Hermonites and the hill Mizar, even though I'm in desperate straits, from that place I will look up by faith and I will remember thee, my God. That's the answer. Now, child of God, are you cast down? Are you bruised? Are you battered? Are you alone? Do you look upon the state of the church? Do you look upon the state of the world? Do you feel oppressed? Do you look upon your own soul? Do you look upon your own natural state? Do you look upon your own sin and feel like you're a worthless creature? Yes, you love God. Yes, you've known God. But every day you fail him. Every day you feel the apathy and the coldness in your heart. Every day you wonder that God could have anything to do with you. Surely he would cast you out. You're worthless. There's no good in you. And you despair when you see your sin. You despair when you find yourself reacting to circumstances in ways you didn't think you would react. You see the sin manifest. You see the anger and the impatience and the frustration. And you're cast down. But if you are, where are you going to look? Where's the answer? Where's the hope? If you're God's, you cannot and you will not give up. You cannot and you will not consent to the cry of the enemies, "Where is thy God?" Because you have an answer. And when they say, "Where is thy God?" you will say, "Yes, he's in the heavens. He's done all things well. And I will remember him. And I may feel alone. I may feel abandoned. I may feel like he's not hearing my cries. But I know he's there. And I know that this trial that seems to go on for years is but a light affliction that's but for a moment, and it worketh in me a far greater weight of glory. I know he's doing it for my good. He will hear, and in the end I will be delivered, and in the end I will be raised up. I will remember my God. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan." Faith rises up, it looks up, even from the worst of situations. And the psalmist goes on here in verse 7 to speak of the worst of situations. Fifthly, he speaks here in verse 7 in figure of the depths of suffering at the cross. As a man, he was brought to feel depths of suffering. But it was to teach him something of what Christ suffered. And you, child of God, will know what it is to be cast out by many. You'll know what it is to be cast out by the world. You'll know what it is to be cast out by the religious. You'll know what it is to be cast out by friends and family. It's the common path of the child of God to know what it is to be deserted, because God will have you to understand and to empathize with what his Son suffered for you, that he should deliver you from your sins. He'll bring you to feel in measure something of what Christ went through to deliver you and save you. And by so showing you the depths to which his Son had to stoop, by so showing you something of what his Son suffered, your love for him will be kindled. You cannot comprehend what Christ went through to deliver you unless you've been there yourself. So the psalmist was shown, and the psalmist felt, and the psalmist describes here what Christ felt during the judgment of God against sin upon his Son at the cross. "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Here is where faith is seen. When all the waves of God's judgment are gone over. When Christ was plunged into the darkness upon the cross. When God's wrath was kindled because of the sins of his people that Christ bore. When Christ was made to be sin in their state, and God poured down his anger and his fury from on high, the deep called unto the deep at the noise of his waterspouts. When the waters came crashing down upon Christ, when he, as it were, as the ark in which Noah and his family were delivered, when that ark was lifted up upon the waters and the rains of God's judgment came down upon it and the waters went over it, Christ felt the judgment. And the deep called unto the deep, because even in that depth of suffering, he was God's Son. And the Son loved the Father. And even though the Father's hand was gone out against his own Son because of the sin, and because of the righteousness of God in judging sin, even though God's anger was set upon his own Son, the Son's faith remained. His love for his God, his Father, could not be broken. And the depths of his heart cried out unto the depths of God the Father's heart. Deep calleth unto deep. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Here is where this faith is seen. If you want to see the faith of Jesus Christ, if you want to see the faith of the believer, you will see it in the worst of situations. It's when Christ went down into the depths of suffering. It's when he was nailed to the cross. It's when he was in the darkness. It's when the fires and the rains of God's wrath poured out upon him. And when he was as far off as he could be. Then his faith rose up and cried, God, remember me. And you, child of God, your faith truly tested will be seen when you're in such a state. When everyone's abandoned you. When all natural hope is gone. When everything is as bad as it could be. Then even then, your faith will look up. And deep will cry out unto deep. And even though the waves of God and his billows appear to have gone over you, you'll still cry out, Lord, help me. Help me. Remember me. Because your love for your God and your faith will remain. These are the circumstances that make faith visible. It's easy to speak of faith in a pleasant time. It's easy to say this person has a strong faith when everything's going their way. It's easy to speak of people of faith when they're all gathered with the congregation and all going as a multitude on holy day to the house of God and all is well. It's easy to be supported by everybody else's faith or supposed faith. It's easy to seem like you've got faith then, but that's not faith. Faith is seen when all else is gone, when all natural help is gone, when you're in darkness, when it's desperate, when you're in the worst of places, the worst of times. Deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. This, for Christ, was the worst of times. It was also the best of times. And child of God, when you're in the deepest of trial, for you it will be the worst of times. But it will also be the best of times. You will know your God and his help when you're brought through such a trial. And your faith will be brought to shine when you're brought through that pathway. And the psalmist proved it. He says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. In the night, in the darkness, his song shall be with me. And my prayer shall be unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Here he is in the worst of times. In the night, he feels forgotten. He's mourning because of the oppression of the enemy. He feels their hatred as a sword in his bones. And in the darkness they say, where's thy God? The worst of times, and yet the best of times. See, sixthly here, we see Christ in the night, upon the cross, with a sword in his bones, a sword of his enemies cutting through him, and a sword at the same time of God's righteous judgment, of God's justice, slicing through him because of the sin that he bore. Oh, what a sword. It's one thing to feel the sword of his enemies. It's another thing to feel the sword of his Father in justice striking him. See Christ in the night here. See him in the darkness. See him in his suffering. See him saving sinners such as you and me. See the price. See what it cost him. See the pain. See the length. See the quiet. See the agonizing hours. The eternity contracted to a span. The eternity of God's wrath passing over him, as billows of water that rushed above and below. See the deep calling unto deep. See the faith of Jesus Christ in the midst. Where is thy God, they said, as they mocked Christ at the cross, as the enemies of God walked past Christ and taunted him and mocked him and scoffed him and said, where is his God? He said he's the Son of God. He made himself equal with God. Well, where's his God now? Why doesn't he just call a legion of angels to take him down? And they laughed and they mocked. Oh, the agony. Oh, the pain. As with a sword in my bones. Do you feel the same hatred? Have you tasted something of the same opposition? Do you feel the darkness that sin brings? Do you feel the darkness that your sin has brought? Do you feel the separation between you and God that your sin has brought? Christ was plunged into darkness because of that sin, because of that sin of his people. Has your sin brought you into darkness? Is God afar off? Do you feel a sword in your bones? Has God put faith in your heart to look up out of the darkness, out of the depths, out of the sorrow, away from the sword, under he who brings salvation? In the midst of that suffering, Christ's faith shone. It shone. Oh, won't you see the most important moment in history and the most important quality of a man? Here's the man, the just man, the righteous man, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the man of faith. Here's the just who live by faith, and here's the faith of Jesus Christ shining out of the darkness when all men deserted him, when he was in darkness, when his own father was thrusting a sword through him because of the sins that he bore as the substitute and sacrifice of his people. That moment in the darkness, his faith shone. And it's that faith and out of that faith that brought salvation. There's no salvation apart from that faith. There's no salvation apart from the faith of Jesus Christ. For it's that faith that manifested the righteousness of God in judgment. It's that faith that took him to that place. It's that faith that caused him to bear that sin. It's that faith that brought about that transaction where he bore the sins of his people that they through him might be made the righteousness of God. It's that faith that took him through the darkness to the other side. It's that faith that gave him the hope to endure. Is that faith that brought about the salvation of all his people? Then have you seen that faith? And has he given you that faith? Has he given you the same faith? The same faith of the Son of God. Has he given it to you to endure the darkness and to endure the pain and to endure the suffering and to endure the trial? So that you should no longer be cast down, but that you should look up and hope in God. For he rises up in faith at the end. Seventhly, his hope was in God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Though he went to this place, though it brought him down, he hoped by faith in God. And he knew that he would yet praise his God, who is the health of his countenance. He knew all his hope was in his God. God would raise him up. God would deliver him. God would bring him forth. He would rise again on the third day. And he did rise again on the third day. And he came forth victorious with all his people, having blotted out their sins in the darkness, having taken up and swallowed up the judgment of God, having taken the sword of God's justice, having drunk the cup of God's wrath to the dregs, he rose up the third day. And his hope was in God. And he praised his God. He led his people out of death into everlasting life, out of sin into everlasting righteousness. He led his people into the presence of the living God. And he said unto that people, first no more, take of the water of life and live forever. Never be cast down. Hope in God. And he brought them in. And he saved them. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he did, and he has, and he does. Has he saved you from your sins? Has he put faith in your heart? Has he brought you through this place to trust and rest in God? Where is thy God, thine enemies say? In glory, on the throne, with a victorious Son and Saviour, with all his people gathered around the throne, throwing their crowns before him and praising him forevermore. Is that where you're going to be with them? Never to be separated, never to be cast down, never to be put back in darkness, but to dwell in light forevermore. Is that where you are? Is that where you're going? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, but for a moment. They say daily unto me, where is thy God? But those days come to an end. And the child of God with Christ enters into that day, the day of the Lord, the Lord's day, where the light never goes, where there's no more darkness and no more night, where there's an everlasting day, an endless day, where there is no more cry of the enemy, "Where's thy God?" For thou dost dwell with God, the living God, forevermore. And the enemies of God have been separated. Separated, the goats from the sheep, the righteous from the wicked. Separated, never to be mingled again, never to be brought into contact again. The people of God will live and reign with him forevermore. Are you with them? Do you hunger to be with them? Do you long to be with them? Do you long to be with their God? Are you with them? Has God given you faith to look and to rest in Christ thy Saviour? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen.